And I decided to do a quick podcast because I want to talk about Elon Musk and Elon Musk's interesting quest to try to buy Twitter. I don't think Elon Musk is going to buy Twitter, and I'm going to explain to you why there are some issues with the Elon Musk Twitter deal and why I just honestly would be super surprised to see it go through. So get comfortable, buckle up seatbelt. We're going to get started on the Black Financial Channel right now. Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Black Financial Channel. That's theblackfinancialchannel.com. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. I'm your friendly neighborhood finance professor. On the Black Financial Channel, we talk about Black wealth and Black economics every single day because we are obsessed with it. And we do it as much as 10 times a day under one expectation. The expectation is that we are Black first. Black first means we put our community at the top of our priority list. Black first means that Black men, we love our Black women. That means Black women love Black men. That means we love the Black family. It also means we educate our kids. We love our kids because we want them to be successful and we want them to get ahead of the curve. If you agree with this philosophy, put a hashtag B and the number one in the chat, hashtag B1. That's what we use when we talk about being what it means to be Black first. Black first is very important if you want to be successful. So give me a yes or no. Yes or no. How many of you know that Elon Musk is trying to buy Twitter? How many of you have been kind of following this and paying attention to this? Give me a yes in the chat if that is if that's something that is of interest to you, because there's some developments here that's really interesting. And I think it's interesting because even though I usually talk about Black people on this platform, I think the Elon Musk thing is interesting because Twitter is so ubiquitous throughout the community. Everybody uses Twitter. Everybody's got a Twitter. How many of y'all tweet at least, say, once every few weeks or every couple days or maybe several times a day? Give me a yes in chat if you are a Twitter or a tweeter who likes to use Twitter to tweet, and you're tweeting, you get it. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so everybody uses Twitter, right? It's kind of like when we talk about Netflix, and I was talking earlier today about how Netflix is laying off employees because their subscriber numbers are dropping and they're going to make some changes. Well, Netflix affects everybody, right? So it's not a racial thing. It's just a thing. Well, the same thing is true with Twitter. So the initial start of all this conversation, as many of us know, is that Elon Musk announced that he was going to buy Twitter, and he was going to buy Twitter for $44 billion. $44 billion appears to be a tiny sum of money for a man who's worth about $250 billion at that time. Now, let's just be clear. Let me tell you a couple of things that's interesting about this deal. This deal, to me, the offer, the move to buy Twitter was kind of it seemed to me to be a little bit emotional, like a little bit emotional, political. It wasn't just about business. It wasn't just Elon saying, okay, I want to buy an asset that's going to really do well for me financially. It was him saying, I'm going to make a statement because, damn it, I'm Elon Musk and I'm worth all this money and I can just do whatever the hell I want to do. And y'all ain't going to put no disrespect on my name, right? Like that was Elon kind of flexing, right? That was his big flex. Well, you know what? Sometimes keeping it real goes wrong. Sometimes keeping it real can be very costly. And so what has occurred since that time is that this Twitter deal has gone from being an iffy deal to being a horrible deal, to being absolute crap. Literally, since the day Elon Musk made this announcement he was going to buy Twitter, Twitter stock has been crashing like nobody's business. I'm talking about it's like trying to get Twitter to try to convince somebody that Twitter is worth the price that Elon Musk bid for that company is like trying to convince somebody that, Bobby Brown could be the same performer he was in 1992. It ain't happening. Bobby Brown, and Bobby Brown 92 was cool and handsome and sexy and energetic. And Bobby Brown in 2022 looks a little bit more like Fat Joe or TD Jakes. He's a whole different performer now than he was back then. So Twitter is the same way. Twitter went from being a company where you could justify a $54 per share offer, which is what Musk offered. He offered $54.20. $4.20 means something because that's kind of a cannabis holiday sort of thing, right? So he's really sort of speaking in code with that particular price point. But now Twitter stock has dropped. It has absolutely plummeted down to about $38 a share at the time of this recording. It is absolutely maniacal and insane to pay $54 a share for a company that is publicly trading at $38 a share. It doesn't make sense. And remember, stock prices are based on all available public information about the company and a discounted model of all future cash flows. So literally based on all the information that is actively available right now about the economic value of Twitter, Twitter's worth $38 a share. So if you pay $39, $40, $41, $42, $43, You better have a good reason to do that. If you go into the 50s, you might look a little bit crazy. But to sort of get put into context, it's very interesting because it's almost like politics, where one minute you're the hero, the next minute you're the villain, then you become the hero again, and it goes back and forth, back and forth. Like Kanye said, they love me, then they hate me, then they love me again. Well, a year and a half ago, I think Twitter stock, let me look at the track record here, Twitter stock was trading for, I want to say 80 or in the 70s, right? So Twitter stock is interesting because, a year ago, $54 a share would look like a bargain. And I'm actually pulling it up right now. And literally in February of 2021, Twitter stock was trading at $72 a share. So if he had bought it for 54 back then that would be considered to be the deal of the century. So these things can change. New information gets released. The economy shifts. That which used to be great suddenly becomes bad. That which used to be bad suddenly becomes great. And right now, Elon Musk is dealing with a rapidly shifting economy. We have literally had maybe some of the worst 2 or 3 weeks that we've had in a while in the stock market. So now what's happening is occurring on a couple fronts. One, Twitter's trading at $38 a share. That makes $54 a share look like a sucker's price. So what Musk is doing is he's basically, in my view, he's playing games. He's trying to renegotiate the deal or get out of the deal because he knows that it's a sucker's deal at this point. So now there's been a conversation about too many spam bots and I thought it was only 5%. And now I realize it's more like 20%. Here's the problem, though. He's kind of doing a little bit of a Donald Trump. He's not providing evidence that this is really there. He's not, the evidence isn't there. And Twitter is firing back. Twitter is saying, no, bro, look, you signed on the dotted line, brother. You're going to have to write that check. And so they're going back and forth. It's probably going to end up in court, and it's probably going to get messy. The other thing that's interesting about this whole Elon Musk thing with Twitter is that, remember, the reason Elon Musk being worth $250 billion does not mean he has $250 billion in cash. Now, net worth is very different from what you have liquid, right? So when I talk to you guys, for example, about the $5 a day investment plan, which you can actually get if you go to blackmoneyminute.com, I'll put the URL on the screen. I really set that up so that your kids can have $100,000 liquid by the time they're 25 years old. That's very different from being worth $100,000. Having the liquid money means that you can actually go to the bank and pull that money out. Being worth that much means that your money is tied up in illiquid assets. They go up and down in value as market conditions change. So basically, Elon Musk is not a guy who can easily write a check for $44 billion. He's got to go to the bank for that. And when he goes to the bank is going to say, okay, what kind of collateral do you have? He's going to say, well, I own a bunch of Tesla stock, and I own a bunch of real estate, and I own a bunch of other stuff. Well, the problem is that since that time, since he made that bid for Twitter, the economy has changed dramatically. So basically, that Tesla stock, it ain't worth what it used to be. That other stock that he might have is not worth what it used to be. At the very least, it's now become much more volatile, which makes it that much more risky, which means the bank is going to say, hey, the deal we might have offered you a month ago, we're not offering you that deal right now. Because your asset values have gone down, so your collateral is weaker than it was before. Risk levels in the market have gone up, which means that we don't really know if we really want to borrow to loan you money against these crazy volatile assets. And so ultimately, you're sort of seeing Musk, in my view, I feel like he's probably stressed right now because the last piece of, I forgot about this. Oh, the Fed just increased interest rates. So when they increase the federal funds rate, well, guess what? That means that the interest rate that the bank charges is going to go up because they say, look, bro, we're paying more money for our money. So you're going to have to pay more money to borrow money from us. So all these numbers change the dynamics of the Twitter deal. It makes it a very bad deal. And let me just tell you, a lot of smart experts out here are pointing this out. They're noticing that Musk is kind of flip-flopping and foot shuffling and kind of gets, it's like if you agree to buy a house and let's say the house is on the market for, $450,000. And you decide you really want the house, so you bid, $540. So you're already overbidding, but you're okay with that because you feel like you can rent it out, make it an Airbnb, get your money back some other kind of way, right? So it can be justified. And then let's say that the value of the house plummets from, say, $450,000 to $380,000. So now you're in the position where you got to pay $540,000 for a house that is worth $380,000. Well, what are you going to do? Especially if your money's tight, and now you're suddenly dealing with collateral issues and your asset values have gone down. Well, you might go in and say, I think this house has a termite problem. I thought this washer and dryer worked, and it turns out I pushed the button and it didn't work. So I don't want to do this no more, right? Or it's like being in a relationship. You know, people get in a bad relationship, they want to leave, but they don't want to actually be the bad guy and break up with somebody. So they just start complaining about every little thing, like chicken. You made chicken. Why the hell you always cooking chicken, right? So you're not really mad about the chicken. You're just trying to get out of the relationship. So Elon Musk is doing the same thing. Chris Rock did it in that movie, I Think I Love My Wife. Elon Musk is doing it right now in his movie called I Think I Love Twitter. He doesn't want to buy Twitter right now. I guarantee it. I would be surprised. I would be shocked if he actually goes through with this deal. I really believe he's not going to do it. I think that what you're seeing is the precursor of him backing out of it. Twitter's probably going to sue him. And if he gets out of the deal, he's going to have to write them a check for maybe $1 billion for wasting their time, right? Wouldn't that be nice if every time you had a bad relationship, somebody had to pay you money for wasting your time? So that's what it is. And that's what I'm saying. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Now, I want to let you guys know as I head out that there is we're hosting a Black Wealth Summit in New Orleans at the same time as the Essence Music Fest. If you'd like to come to the Black Wealth Summit, we're going to cover deep dives in stock investing. We're going to cover deep dives in real estate. We're going to do deep dives in 10Xing your business and building up your business with Lene Javette. I believe Julian Gordon is going to be there with us. My wife, Dr. Alicia, will be there. So we're going to have social networking and even speed dating and all kinds of stuff. So if you'd like to join us in New Orleans, hang out at the Essence Music Fest, and also really level up yourself in terms of wealth and understanding wealth, join us at the Black Wealth Summit. You can go to BoyceWatkins.com, click on events. You can learn more about it. I'd love to see you guys there. All right, guys. So I'm going to get on out of here. And in case you want to know what else we got going on, we are creating a Black Gamers League. I'm really into gaming now. I think it's really interesting. It's a growing industry. There's a lot of opportunity there. And I met a lot of brothers and some sisters as well, but mostly brothers that love the game. Also, maybe if you want to learn how, I got brothers like G-Maculate who can show you how. And it's really a lot of fun. And it's really a great entryway into the metaverse. The metaverse is going to start. I think the keys to the metaverse start with this whole multi-billion, eventually trillion-dollar industry of gaming through things like Fortnite and Call of Duty. And I'm really fascinated by it and by the dynamics of it all. So we're digging into this real heavy. So we're actually doing a Black Gamers League. So if you ever see me on my YouTube channel playing Call of Duty, and you want to join in, you want to follow, you want to join some of our gaming tournaments, just look in the description and there should be ways to friend me on Activision or connect with me through Twitch or whatever the case may be, because we're serious about this. We're going to be heavy investors in this industry and we are making significant moves in this space. So feel free to join us. All right. So anyway, that's it, guys. I hope that this conversation was helpful. If you want to know my 2 cents on Elon Musk and Twitter, nothing's for sure. Nobody knows for sure, but I would be floored if Elon Musk goes through with this deal. Mark my word, he's not going to do it. He's trying to find his way out of it. It's like he got the girl pregnant and now he don't want the baby. So foot shuffle his way out of it. You know, he's going to kind of do a lot of splaining and hand waving to explain why he doesn't want to do the deal. And what's interesting though is that because it's so political, it really kind of speaks to this idea that maybe when you're doing business, you probably shouldn't make moves based on emotion, especially if you're the richest man in the world and you're throwing out $44 billion because you're mad. I don't think that was a good move to begin with. I don't think Twitter is as great of a platform as people think. I don't think it's as easily monetizable as people might have thought. And I think Elon Musk is finding that out. And also, I think that with him running Tesla and SpaceX and his the Boring Company and everything else, he ain't got time to run Twitter. This is a whole nother beast. And I just can't really even see him pulling this off. But then again, you know, maybe he can. Who knows? That's the two white guys I don't bet against are Elon Musk and Tom Brady. So there you go. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Have a good day. God bless you. Hit the thumbs up button on your way out. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. Go to BoyceWatkins.com if you'd like to join us for Powernomics training tomorrow night. We do that every Wednesday night. So I hope to see you there. Take care. Love you. I'll see you soon. Peace.